Good. Well, I can't say good evening because it's evening for us, but who knows when you guys are listening to this. Hi everybody, this is Crime at the Family Table. I am your host, well, one of your hosts, Latanya, and I'm joined here, of course, by the lovely, esteemed, gorgeous, glamorous, fashion forward, great mind, beauty, mother of mothers.
Hello, thank you for that introduction. I love it. I wish I could get up in Vogue. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Today was a rainy day. I've been a little sluggish, but I'm getting here. Pretty much like I have a full belly, so that makes it even better. However, side note, I know this may be TMI, but it's that time of the month for your girl, so not really sure myself.
It's coming for me too. So I've been like randomly weepy, just like crying. I don't even a little bit. Like yesterday, I caught the end of the Oscars. Like we caught after they snubbed Angela Bassett.
Oh God, like it's the worst.
I caught that, and then I think I with Brandon Fraser's one, I
Hey.
kind of started crying. I like was tearing up a little bit. But I really almost really cried when they were doing the tribute to like the in memoriam and John Travolta got choked up in the beginning. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, I didn't realize
Yeah, he introduced he has like a beard now and a bald head.
John Travolta came. Yeah, he stopped wearing that ugly behind toupee because he's been bald for like years.
Has he?
Yes, girl, he's been bald since like the early 2000s. He's been wearing like a hairpiece for years. And it's so crazy to think about it because he has been someone that has had a glorious like coif of hair.
Luxurious head of hair, yes.
And I'm like, okay, what happened? But I realize it's age, genetics, and all types of stuff. But I'm very happy that, he was there. I maybe he didn't walk the carpet because I didn't see him on the carpet.
I'm not sure, but he did. He introduced the in memoriam segment, and he basically gave a nod without saying her name to Olivia Newton-John, and that was I can safely assume that's what was choking him up. Because at the end he said we're hopelessly devoted to them, which is a Grease reference. In case y'all don't know, that was a song that they sang in Grease, where he starred alongside Olivia Newton-John, who passed away in 22. So I was getting a little teary-eyed. I was like, Olivia.
Listen, it was so crazy, like to see like all the because it felt like just last year we heard the slap that rang through the world, and it's just like we're back at it again. And I think the way that like the Oscars definitely were handled this year was better. However, like the snubbing of asset is just something I will never be able to get, let go because anyone who's and even if Angela didn't win, I do not understand a white woman in an all Asian film winning an award.
And I love Jamie Lee Curtis.
I do. But this is not the category for her. But this, like, and somebody was saying this on TikTok, and I get because I get all my commentary, my ears be to the ground in TikTok, is that she shouldn't have won for that. That basically the Oscar needs to become more open to the horror genre in terms of like awarding them things. And like, so Jamie Lee Curtis in the horror genre should win awards. But because the Oscars doesn't like horror or Marvel, they tend to lean away from that type of stuff. So you have to go away from that to win an award. And something side note I want to talk about is the fact that like people's reaction to what they assume is Angela Bassett's reaction to Jamie Lee Curtis winning. Like I think people got to understand like how quickly things move and to look at somebody for a brief second and assume that they're not happy for another person's win. Like, people are allowed to be sad that they lost. Like,
And this is not her first go around at this. And let's all be honest, Angela Bassett should have won an Oscar years and years ago for so many different performances. I don't, while I think she did an amazing job in Black Panther and in the sequel, this is not her best performance ever. She should have already won Best Supporting or Best Actress for roles that were better.
Right.
But I still think at this point, it's like, we all will give Angela her Oscar. She be out here acting. And J like I said, no slight to Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't think she meant it in a negative way. I think she just was like, crap, another year. Like, I've lost again. And I'm
Right.
way
It's like
overdue.
they gave her so close, but just took it, just to snatch it.
Yeah. Cause I honestly I thought she was gonna win over the people that were in the category. Cause I was like, Jamie Lee Curtis, whatever. Her role really that significant in the movie? But other than that.
If it wasn't Angela, if we're talking like, and it's crazy because if we're talking about like significance of like the timing, it's just like, okay, I understand if maybe y'all don't want to give it to Angela for the Marvel thing, like, but y'all shouldn't even have put her in the category. If y'all shouldn't have even nominated her, she wasn't going to, if y'all were just going to snub the Marvel regardless. But to have two people in the same movie should not be able to be in the same category.
I didn't know that was possible. I thought whoever was going to be the best supporting actress is just one of you.
Right. So the fact of the matter is that was also a play in Stephanie's face because it leads her to believe that she has a more of a chance, that she's increased her chance by being in the in that category. But actually, mathematically speaking, she basically just increased Jamie's position in winning because Jamie is the one of privilege in this category. She's white and she's a nepo baby.
Yeah.
So she has a way higher swing in all of this than the other contestants. This would have been Stephanie's, this is her first ever nomination, and it's just like it's so weird. But we all know also like that the Oscars has been on weird stuff. Like, I mean, they feign inclusivity when it suits them, but someone really has come out recently and saying the reason why Viola Davis is didn't get nominated is because they can't win everything. Like, I just
I don't understand. I think it was Candy from Escape, or Real Housewives, for those of you who don't know who Escape is, but I think she said it's in the voting is basically a popularity contest. And if some people just don't know who you are, they, I'm sorry, my cat is swinging from my chair. Trying to like swing her off the chair. If it's a bunch of white people, let's be honest, because I think she said it's majority white people. You get an old white man who might not know or have ever seen Black Panther, and Angela Bassett does not mean as much to them as she does to us. So in popularity, of course, I'm gonna vote for Jamie Lee Curtis. I know exactly who she is. Like you said, I know who her father is.
I don't even need to know who Jamie is. I know who her mom, so they grow a connectivity to that person simply through just identity. Like, and it's very crazy to me because because Michelle Yeoh should also have not been in the same, should not have also had to fight in her category against two of the of those other people because they Ana de Armas, that movie Blonde, literally people booed that shit. Like, it was on Netflix and it was horrible. Like, it was like the negative reviews of that movie because it was like a parody movie without saying a parody movie of someone of a real person's life, and it was very in poor taste. And so like it shouldn't even have been brought out. And the other woman, I forgot what her name was, she did some sneaky stuff to be mentioned in a category when she didn't even, because, but yeah, you're like, right, like it is a popularity contest. And so they're like bidding to be like in the nomination and be voted for, but also they go by trends of the other award shows. That's why the Oscars is pretty much last.
They're a bunch of copycats. they copied off somebody's homework. I think that, like you said, some of the category was misplaced because I felt like the girl who was in Brandy, I was like, who is this and what is this movie? Did I miss this? At least some of the other movies I had heard of, and I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. I saw that one. It was a fantastic movie. They deserve to win the Oscar.
All the categories. Brendan Fraser, I was so proud of him because I felt like this is his comeback into Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he deserves all good things that happen to him. He's my sweet baby angel.
Yes. And I feel like what a way to come back into Hollywood by winning a freaking Oscar.
Right.
I haven't seen his movie and I'm playing on it, but.
No, because it's like a cry fest. Like, that movie's like a cry fest. And, like, I feel like I would watch that movie if I wanted to just cry.
Yeah.
That's like, why I'm just up and I just need to release.
But congrats to all the people who won the Oscars. Most of the people looked phenomenal. One last thing. Did you notice, because Hav and I were watching, and he was like, have you noticed that there's two presenters and one is black and one is white in every category? Like every presenter pair that came up. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I know.
I didn't notice it until he pointed it out.
What? Okay.
So it was from what we watched, from the point that we watched, Halle Berry and what's the redhead? Jessica Chastain.
Love Jessica.
And then it was Idris Elba and Nicole Kidman, black white, Janelle Monáe and I forget who Janelle Monáe was with, but a white woman, Sigourney Weaver and was it Sigourney Janelle? Sigourney Weaver and Zoe Saldana.
Okay. Oh, and I remember the guy from that won Best Picture last year from Coda. He was up there with the girls that Angela Bassett did the thing. Okay, so it definitely was in a... That's a little decent. I mean, like I said, the Oscars fame inclusivity, when they know that there's about to be a big snub and they just want to calm everybody's britches, that they're not going to say much of anything. And it's just like, no, that's literally all my FYP is. It's just filled with people having vitriol with Jamie Lee. And I don't think she went to the Vanity Fair after party. Like, I don't think she went because, you know, she said last night, and I love Jamie Lee. She's like me. Like, I'm getting a little up there. She was like, I want to see Coldplay at 1 p.m. Like, I just don't want to. Why am I out this late at night? It's ridiculous.
I would have went, showed my face, and been like, you ready to go this night? Because I'm can't sleep.
But one last thing, Megan Stallion came out last night.
Yes, she did. And I thought she looked beautiful. Wasn't a huge fan of the outfit, but I just was happy to see her.
I like it. It's one of her better outfits. I feel like it fit her like a glove. It was custom. Sure. And La Roach did the fit.
La Roach style her? Listen, if I ever make it big.
It gotta be Law or nobody. It's Law or nobody. It's Law is Law.
Because the way he be dressing Zendaya, kill every time.
Every single time he's gonna do it. Every single time Zendaya wasn't there, a little shocking to me, but maybe she's busy because I know that she has a lot of projects that are coming down like the pipe right now, so that's the reason why I think Euphoria is getting pushed back.
Okay.
All right, everybody. So I know like right now it kind of almost sounds like we're doing a shooting the shit episode, but it kind of is going to be one of those episodes today. So today we decided to change things up from our regularly scheduled program because like we mentioned last week, like Alyssa was starting to watch and I had finished watching The Murdoch Murders, the Netflix special on the Murdoch family from Hampton County in South Carolina. We have, but this week, Alyssa has finished watching it. So we are going to discuss, break down, and go through the bits and pieces of the documentary that we saw. And we're going to kind of, it's kind of going to be all over the place. We're not going to be remember every character, every person as mentioned in this thing's name, but we're going to try to keep like the main people in your mind. Like, so, because it is, I think it's very important that we remember these people, because this is going to come down the line later, because there's still so much more that has to happen. Even though there is somewhat of a conclusion, it still isn't over. There's still cases that still got to be taken to court. So, all right. So we're going to get into this week's episode on the Murdoch murder breakdown. There also is another documentary on this on, I think it's HBO. I haven't watched it. They said that it goes into even more detail. I'll probably try to watch it one of these days. If I do, we'll come back to this. We'll probably have a part two, because I think that this case is so fascinating.
It is very fascinating. This family is fascinating. I am interested in, I think I said it last week, I was listening to the Don't Call Me White Girl podcast, and some girl like DM'd her because her family is from that town, and she basically was like, her grandpa said if they find all the cars that's buried on the property, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for that family. So I'm like, dig up the cars. Can we dig up the yard? But if you see the documentary, they have acres of acres of acres of land. So they would be metal detecting for months.
And we all got to talk about funding that goes into this type of thing. Like, it's a lot of money. That one property had 1,000 acres. And then they have other homes, like, that are, like, throughout this county. Like, that's why, like, you have to say Hampton, because it's not just one city. Like, they run an entire county. That is intense power. Mm-hmm. I was just like, damn, this is really going to bring the ginger, like, rhetoric down. Like, the ginger numbers are going down. They already feel like the ugly stepchild. This is not going to go well.
As soon as I saw they was rated, I was like, ah, sorry, guys. Not looking too good.
All right, we're going to jump right into it. So the first episode is Where Is Mel? And so we're head first into the first episode, where we really get into the case that kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back on this whole family, which is dealing with Mallory. And Mallory is a young girl that is friends with, well, she's friends with Paul Murdoch, who is Alec Murdoch, the patriarch of this family. Girlfriend, and she's best friends with her, and she is girlfriends with Paul's best friend Anthony, and they're just getting into a relationship, but they've known each other, because this is a, even though we're talking about this family runs a county, like, these people are technically from a small town, so they all kind of grew up with each other, except for Morgan is actually not from their county. She's from Long Island. So she's an outsider. And that becomes apparent definitely from the way she talks. But we're like jumped head first into Mallory's case, in a sense. Like, Mallory's case is very tragic, because you can tell she's very loved, and she was just a beautiful person. What was your thought process like when you being introduced to, I guess, this friendship group? What was, like, your thought process?
I was thinking about that, too. I'm not gonna lie. When I first started watching it, I took notes of names of who they are. Morgan kind of came off a little bit suspicious to me. Before they started, like, unraveling the whole story, I was like, she knows something. She knows something she's not saying. But I changed my mind as the documentary went on. But this friend group, I don't want to say they seem like they were all patched together, because the three girls They seem legitimately close. Mallory's boyfriend just seemed like he was there for a good time, not a long time. Like I thought he was just there for her, but I didn't realize him and Paul had a friendship, like outside of
No,
the.
you mean no, you mean Miley's boyfriend, Connor.
No, so Mallory's
No,
boyfriend, the girl that died.
Mallory's the girl that died, but Mallory's boy, like Mallory's, oh, you mean like how he was like so kind of like, yeah, bro.
Yeah, like, and how he still was kind of like, he still kind of had a love for Paul. I mean, I guess if you legitimately friends, you would have love for your friend. Like, if you did something like that crazy, I wouldn't hate you. I would still love you as my friend. I just wouldn't bang with you anymore, but I don't, it just, something was off about all of them. And I don't know if I'm just too deep into the true crime world and I'm just looking suspiciously at everybody, but some stuff I was kind of like,
What I will say honestly about this about these friendships is I definitely feel like, so you get Connor and Anthony, they're a cousin, so of course they're going to be close because they're related.
I didn't realize they were cousins. Okay, I missed that part.
That really briefly because like Connor isn't really like he's there, but like he his relationship to this isn't brought in multiple times, so. And it's crazy because what they bring in is that, and this is what we're talking about. Like this whole thing has so many layers because these kids just don't know each other. The parents know each other because the parents went to school together. Like it's so crazy. So also, like just so everybody also understands is that the power that the Murdochs have is that the Murdochs in this county are like lawyers, but they also have held position as solicitor, which is basically the prosecutor, like
Aren't they like the DA?
the DA, yeah, like the district attorney. That means they are really the holders of everything. And one of the things that somebody that he was the guy from the Hampton newspaper. He said basically that he let himself be known to everybody. Like he was friends with like he was cool. He tried to make himself cool. Alex tried to make himself cool with everybody, from judges to law enforcement to anybody that was out on the street that could potentially be a jury member. So you get what I'm saying? Like he played with people so intensely that he had this whole county wrapped around his finger. And I also felt like this was just a group of people that didn't 100% like they were cool with each other because the other person was cool with the other person,
That's
but
what I
necessarily all friends.
Like, so it was Mallory and Miley that grew up together, right? And then Morgan came in the end.
Yes, Maury came when they were older, and Mallory, of course, she pretty much met them in the exact same way. She gave compliments to them. She said she told Miley that she was just, so beautiful. And then Morgan, she complimented her on her shoes. She was just so sweet. And a lot of people, I saw a lot of like discourse that was online about like Morgan and her intention and say like she wanted to be a part of this family so bad and blah blah blah. And I'm just like, probably because I mean, think of it, you're a girl that's from the outside of this place, and this place is all about like everybody knowing each other, and you're coming in as an outsider, and you are girlfriends with a boy who basically runs the town. Like that's a lot to go from a nobody to being with somebody. That has to be tantalizing but also scary.
Yeah.
But Paul, like from the get-go, we are being led to a clear understanding of this family is that Paul himself is someone who holds a lot of power, but somebody who also is so just outside because he feels like the black sheep. He doesn't he doesn't seem to really have a closeness with his family. Like, they're close in a sense where they'll bail him out of stuff. And he uses that a lot. Like, Paul will call his grandpa Randolph up in a hot, quick minute. Like, him and Morgan get into that car accident, and he's just, and he's like, he snapped that phone out of her hand so quick. Like, I'm sure the phone felt like it was going to break in her hand. Because he was just like, why would you call it? Like, you don't call the cops. Like, you never get the cops involved. Like, and it's crazy because they just handle things and clean it up like they're MIB. Like, it's so intense.
I can't imagine my grandfather having so much power that I'm like, hey, don't call the cops. Call my grandpa. Like, that's crazy. And the fact, like, we can't just skip past the fact that he knows this. Like, so I can't imagine that sense of entitlement or of like, I'm above anything because my people run this town. That's crazy.
Morgan was just like, Paul will call Randolph and Randolph will call Alec, and Alec and them will have handled it and it'll be quick. Like, Randolph and Alec come together, they're just like a team. They're a dynamic duo. I think because you're dealing with, like, yes, Alec is technically the patriarch, but like, Randolph runs this shit. And Randolph is the one whose name is really on the line because he's still alive. Like, he's still, this is still his living, breathing legacy. And it is his grandfather that starts this all off. Like, it's so intense of how, like they kind of show you, like, the path of how everybody's connected. And you just can't even imagine this one family just doing all of this. Like, they are just, like, think of the Kennedys. Like,
the Kennedys of a small town, yep.
The Kennedys of a small town. And it's, they kind of do look like the Kennedys a little bit, just a little bit. They look like some of those Kennedys.
Some of them, but the Kennedys were way better looking families.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
They were not, if I be honest, they were not the most beautiful family, the Murdochs. Like, I was
I was like, they need some sunscreen. They need to use some sunscreen.
Because even Paul, when I was looking at Paul and looking at Morgan, I was like, huh, how did that?
A huge part, though, of the whole entire relationship, though, is alcohol. There's a lot of alcohol going on. Maggie and Alec supplying minors with alcohol. Like,
I thought he took Buster's ID and got alcohol.
Or no,
for that night
incident, like, I'm talking about, like, previously. Like, remember, it was a scene where Morgan was like riding there, she was showing it around, and she showed even the, like, the law firm, and she was just like, yeah, like, they had this watermelon festival and we went in, and like, he had out, and like, he had, like, stockpiles of alcohol, and he just gave us a whole bunch of alcohol. Mind you, these people are like 16 years old. Like, these are children. Like your son is literally, like, becoming an alcoholic, like, and is an alcoholic, like, towards, as we get into it. Like, we're seeing videos of Paul, eyes glazed over. He is drinking hard liquor with his family, like, in these videos from Snapchat.
And people know. Like, mm-hmm. The nurses was like, hey. Like, I think it was a cop that was like, hey, you know, Paul's kind of nasty when he's drunk. Like, the fact that he was known as this, like, person to have issues with alcohol at such a young age too, it's that sad. And they just enabled it.
Yep, they just enabled it because they just didn't feel like dealing with him. So they enabled it and they cleaned everything up. Like, and the thing about it is that that what happened to Mallory is actually what could have happened to any, like, it was just bound to happen. Because he's a dangerous person. Like, he is so reckless. He is reckless and entitled. And reckless and entitled people become sociopaths. Like, and become narcissists. Because they think they're so above everything and everyone. And I think, however, Paul does have a care in his heart. There was like Anthony felt that care in his heart. That's why I think he was so wrong, because he was just like, I just know Paul and I know like the ins and outs of that, how that family works. And he probably told him some shit that was like, this is a lot of layers. But the other person that really matters to Paul was Gloria, the housekeeper, who Gloria meant the world to Paul. And you know, we gonna come to Gloria a little later, but like Gloria meant the world to him. Like he didn't have a picture. Like they talk about like how he didn't even have a picture in his wallet of no one but Gloria.
Isn't it usually like that? The maid,
yeah,
the nanny is closest to the kids. But that kind of made me. I think hearing about his reaction to her death made him more human to me. And I was like, oh, okay. Like you said, I think he does have that care. Mm-hmm. He just so caught up in the drinking and his family name and things like that, that he probably got lost in the sauce. Because he's the baby, isn't he? Like he was.
Yeah. Because Buster's the oldest. And I think like Maggie and like Alex, like they, like, because technically, like, in I guess, because they really think of themselves as royalty in Hampton County. So think about like royalty, like he's the heir and Paul's the spare. Like he's like the spare kid. And like, so if Buster falls off, like as Buster will, as we know, then it's time for Paul to pick up. But like now Paul is getting into them some major shit that they really don't know how they're going to clean up. And that's when we get into what happens on February, I think 28th of 2019. So it is oyster roast, and during oyster roast, it's like when I guess the oysters are the best to get out the water because the water is colder. And so they start like, they go to these places and they decide that they're going to go to this place and drink and do all these things, but they're going to take the boat. And they don't, I don't know if they 100% mentioned it in the, I don't remember they mentioned it in the doc, but I did hear that the reason why they took the boat is because they wanted to not be driving so they could get past the stops. So there were police in the road, but there weren't police in the water. So, so they weren't going to be able to drink and leave. So they get there, it's around 12 o'clock when they're getting ready to leave, but like, or no, well, 12:30, and they're getting ready to leave, and Paul is like belligerently drunk. Timmy, as his other drunk alter ego, has arisen, and he is just not a nice person when he's drunk. So he proceeds to drive, slightly altercation comes forward, like he's driving pretty recklessly on the water, and you know he gets mad and he hits Morgan. He smacks her. This is not the first time he's hit Morgan. Like this, like we are told in this that Morgan has been smacked, hit, and hurt by Paul quite a few times, and no one knows about this stuff. So but they're kind of on the out at this point because, you know, they weren't really feeling each other, like because of the abuse and because she just was tired of it, but she was still in and out. But they were just hanging out that night, I guess, because everybody was hanging out. She was just like, I'll just come with. And he's belligerently drunk, and then he just decides that he's just going to floor the boat. And by flooring the boat, everyone pretty much goes flying, and all of them end up in the water in some way. Valerie, sadly, is tossed from the boat and tossed from her boyfriend. So Anthony was holding on to her, but I guess because of the force of the boat at the speed it was going, it like forced them apart. And when they got into the water because of the current, it like forced them apart. And Mallory was forced from the boat, and then they got out, and then all the police were like around, and Connor got up, like he was up enough and he called 911. However, even though like his jaw was fractured, he had a gash on his face, and you know, everybody was screaming, like they were just scared. It was just crazy. All the police swarm, the people that are like, I guess, at the coast They come down and we just get to see that Paul is literally just does not give a fuck. Like, even in this moment, he wants to call his grandfather.
It's just, it's crazy just to think about the amount of influence that somebody who is, how do you say this? In some deep ass shit, and they're just like, you know what? I'm just gonna call my grandfather. I'm not gonna even call a lawyer. Call my granddaddy. And I am just like appalled at that shit. And so what we lead into from this is everybody is freaking out, being taken to the hospital, except for Anthony. Anthony doesn't want to go to the hospital because he wants them to find Mallory. It is chaotic. What we meet at the hospital is that, I guess, Anthony, I'm so sorry. Anthony's at the shore, and then like his mom comes, who's just such a beautiful hearted woman. Like the police, I guess, contact Mallory's mom and dad. Mallory's dad, he just looked like, y'all lucky Paul in the hospital, because I would have put him there myself.
No, they did. They didn't. Didn't the can I get his name? Didn't Anthony's mom tell the mom, Mallory's mom, what was going on? Because there was somebody where the dad was like, and they still have never contacted me to this day. There's somebody.
No. So, the police, they do contact and they say, like, something. No. So, they are contacted and they are told about, like, they're in Beaufort, but they don't know where, they know it's been a boating accident, but they don't know where to go. Oh. And they knew not to go to the hospital because they're just like, why would I go to the hospital when Mallory is not at the hospital?
Yeah.
And then they find out that they can go to like the bridge, which was the only bridge that was really in that in this specific area. And like, but no, what I'm saying is like, no, like Mallory's dad looked like he was about to be on one. He was gonna put the paw on Alec, Randolph, the granddaddy, Paul, all of them. Like it got ugly.
Buster too.
Buster too would have listened when it turned them, would have turned them orange, they already red, would knock them silly. And like, so they end up like, so Morgan ends up with like lacerations on her hand. Connor
was like shredded.
He just looked like, oh my god. And it gets sadder because Connor is fucked up, and like Paul decides that he is going to tell the police when they were at the bridge, and then again in the thing, that Connor was the one driving the boat.
Connor was just like, huh? He really, I think he had like hit his head and he had that laceration on his face. Like you can still see the scar in present time. Like, and they wanted to blame that on their baby. He looked so clueless, like, huh?
And I'm not saying, listen, they all have been drinking. Like, they all have been drinking, but Paul, like, was drinking. Like, he was, like, off his ass. And he also can't handle his liquor. Like, apparently, like, Paul is somebody that not only, like, does he really drink to excess, he doesn't really need much to get him over the edge. So it's all this confusion, and Connor is just like, I didn't do anything, but like Alec is trying to control the situation. He's trying to get like Morgan to talk, like to make him the lawyer. Like he's saying, oh, well, I represent her and I'm her lawyer, and she just like, keep him out my room. I know how this family work. And I said, good girl, because she had let that man in there, like, they were just trying to manipulate the situation. They were trying to keep it so it was all this confusion around who was driving the boat. and who was and who was the person that was, you know, and basically how everything happened. It was just going to be confusion. However, it from the video of from people from the police's cameras, like they're saying from the get-go that Paul drove the boat. So I just don't understand how they was really going to let that happen. That was just weird. Sadly, they do find Mallory's body 5 days later, and Mallory has sadly passed away.
It was just so sad how it took them so long too. I mean, I guess if the current is strong enough, it could have swept her further down, but like I initially was like, oh, they're trying to cover something up. That's why it's taking so long to find her. I didn't think they were gonna find her.
Right. I was like, are they gonna find this girl? Because if like literally I do not have time for them to be playing around with me. It was a little scary. It was like really scary for me because I was just like, that is scary as shit. Like I just couldn't imagine like 1 minute this girl is just right next to you and then she's just gone. But what made it even worse is the fact that this girl had an Apple Watch on. And if anyone knows anything about Apple product or like or a cell phone or anything, it has like a tracker on it. Like, and it takes a little minute for like it to become like water damage, but they can ping your very last location. So like it just felt weird. And I don't know. I just feel like that was strange, but at least I'm happy today because they really could have just manipulated the way that family worked. They really could have manipulated that police into like the people that were searching to like leave that girl body in that water.
That's what I thought it was going to be. And I think, I don't know how waterproof Apple Watches are. They're not like waterproof, but you can wear some of them. It depends on which one she had, but you can wear some of them while you're like swimming. But that long term,
nah,
like for 5 days in the water, I doubt it. It just was so sad. I'm glad that they found her to give the family some closure and, you know, for her to be able to have her memorial and be honored and things like that. But I thought for sure it was going to be some big cover up and they were magically never going to find her. But they found her. And Paul should have been in jail, period.
Yeah, like, ain't never seen no shit like that in my life. Like, literally, no hand. He never wore not a set of handcuffs. He literally took a picture, his mugshot in a picture in a polo. Like, and it wasn't even like a regular, like, little polo. It was like the colorful, like, beachfront polo. I was like,
striped, like he was about to go play soccer. Like, I'm like, sir.
Just like,
is this your college ID photo?
Like, that's, yo, speak on, because that's literally how it felt. And then 2 years goes by, and I know that cases take a minute, they do take a while, but the fact that it was just like 2 years and it's just nothing, like, and what even made things like just so much more like gut-wrenching is the fact that he was still out here drinking.
Listen, the one thing this family is not going to do is lay low when this stuff hits the fan. Like, I just was like, why are you still putting yourself in the spotlight for doing the thing that caused you to basically accidentally kill your friend? Like, he didn't even try to. We have a third co-host, guys, so he has a very serious reaction because she watched it with me. But he didn't lay low or anything. And I was just like, sir, you're stupid.
Like, so dumb. And if you notice, it was crazy because I was just like, wow, he looked a little swole. He looked a little alcohol swollen. And we go into now episode 2. And episode 2 hits us in like a whirlwind. So now we are at the Mosley house, which is
the main house for everybody. And somehow Maggie and Paul have been murdered. They've been shot and killed in a very grisly fashion. And at this point, we're just like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Like,
wait, so are we going to dive into that, or are we, and then come back to Gloria and Stephen?
Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, you want to get into Gloria and Stephen before this? Is that's fine.
I wasn't sure how to time them. No, they were first, right?
Already thrown off, because honestly, they really should have started with Stephen, because actually it's Stephen's case that is the most, like, the most, it's weird, because it's just like, you don't think he's connected, but then it's just like, whoa, okay, this is where we're going with this. Okay, but no, we got, I want to talk about, like, the Maggie and Paul situation just really quickly. Only to say, like, that Paul lived in his own property, and then he moved with the family back to the main house, only because, I guess, like, you know, just to be around the family, because I guess the family at the end of the day is going to be this dynamic, this fortress, so they're just going to band down together. That's definitely what it felt like. Also, there's other things that go on in terms of, from what Paul did or is accused of doing, he is the catalyst for just craziness to come out. Like, Maggie is noticing bills aren't being paid. There is monies that is just going womp womp. Buster gets kicked out of college, of the University of South Carolina, for plagiarism. Like, the game is already rigged in your favor and you still plagiarize. Like, I just, like, if y'all could see my face, like, it's just like, what? Like, the game is already rigged in your favor. All you had to do was pass college.
You could have passed it with C's like George W. Bush did.
And you just decide, okay, I'm just gonna plagiarize and be he'll never be able to get into law school. Like, he'll never be able to get into really any school. Plagiarism is an extremely, extremely hard offense to get off your record.
I didn't realize that. I thought he could have just went to a different school and it'd be fine. But yeah, they do take plagiarism very seriously.
Yeah, like, it's like, because they'll ask, like, what happens to your academic record, and the school can decide if they want to take you in. And clearly, Buster wasn't that smart. Like, he didn't get into a very prestigious college. Like, he wasn't, like, a Yale or, like, he wasn't a Yale or, like, a Princeton kid. He was a freaking University of South Carolina. Not to say anything that, you know, not to say that school is not up there, just to say, like, he really didn't get into anything really crazy prestigious. So, notably prestigious. So it was just, it's just weird. Like, it's just so strange. Because, but I guess we are hearing also all about Paul's stuff. Like, we are thrusted into Paul's, like, crazy, selfish, alcoholic stupors, but we don't really know, like, how bad Buster is. But we kind of get a sense that Buster got some secrets in the closet. Oh, so,
no pun intended.
Girl. So we are introduced later on, but, like, this happens later, but we can talk about this now, that we are introduced to a young man named Stephen Smith. Stephen Smith went to school with Buster. And Stephen Smith was, sadly, like, he died in a very suspicious manner. He is found in the middle of a road, and it looks like he has been, like, a hit and run has happened. However, when police kind of go out there to look at, like, the crime, it looks almost like his body has been staged and positioned in this way to make it look like he was hit, but there were no 100% indications to say that he was hit by a car.
So we are left, like, so we find out that it is rumor mills are twiddling around Hampton to say that Buster and Steven got into a little hanky-panky from every now and again, and that they were secretly dating.
I saw them eyebrows, and I was like, that told the tale. And then I was like, wait a minute. What about Buster? And here we are.
Here we are.
For the young man, though, because...
Yeah. And it also seemed like he was, like, this really smart, charismatic guy. Steven, like, had loads of friends. He wasn't afraid to be who he was. He was very outspoken, very... He was just not that, like, wasn't the guy, like, to just be, like, a little wallflower. He was definitely outspoken, and he was who he was. It seemed that, like, he was a very smart kid. Like, apparently, Buster really wasn't, like, no wonder Buster plagiarized. Buster really wasn't that good of a student. He wasn't that smart.
They usually aren't.
And it seemed to me like my setup was, I don't know if they really said it 100%, but my whole thing is, like, I feel like Steven tutored Buster. And that may have been how they kind of hooked up or whatever. And then it was like the secret download thing. But they never really 100% go into that. Like, too much. Then we are brought into another crime, which is the tragic passing of Miss Gloria Stumfield. She is the housekeeper that we mentioned that Paul is extremely close to. And so what is being told is that Maggie, being the bitch she is, because Maggie just is so bitchy.
Yes, I wanted to pluck her in her nose. I did not. She was not likable at all. I did not feel bad for her. Go ahead.
Like, did not feel bad for her at all. She literally calls the police. Gloria apparently falls down the steps. This is the story she's saying, that the dogs or something were in the house and tripped her up, and which caused Gloria to fall down the steps. Tragically, I'm guessing Gloria had hit her head on the steps or the banister, which caused her demise due to head injury. During the 911 call, Maggie, and I procure you to listen to this, but I'm going to give you the synopsis that I can. Maggie calls 911 and they're just like asking her questions. And she's just like, why are you asking me all these questions? Because they are the 911 operators. They supposed to. What do you mean, sis? What do you even mean?
The fact that she, okay. First of all, the 911 phone call just sounded, she was like, yeah, you should send somebody. Like, it just was so like
I'm ordering pizza.
Oh no, that's crazy. Like,
I'm ordering pizza for my kid. And I just, like, I felt like, what? And so what we get in with Miss Gloria is that Alec, as he did with, tried to do with the Paul situation, is he tries to play fixer. So he goes to the family. He's just like, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, we're going to look out for y'all. Sue my insurance and get money for this and, you know, whatever. And whoever handled the law firm that handled and everybody who handled the situation with Gloria's case, her family didn't see a dime of the insurance payout for that case. And what it looks like to people is that there was a setup, that Gloria was set up to be not necessarily murdered, but hurt.
I have so many thoughts on Miss Gloria. Like, from the call to the him suing himself for the insurance, to give to the family, like, to her tripping over. Did it seem to me like they was making a bigger, like, the McDonald's cup was the highlight? Like it was, they was focused too hard on that cup. Like she was McDonald's, like she always does every morning, and she had her cup. And
right, you want to know what that's called? It's called giving up too much fucking information.
Yes, I was just like, these details don't seem
unnecessary details for filler to seem like you're more honest than what you are.
She tripped over the dogs, but she hit her head. She was laying backwards, like her head, her the back of her head had hit the steps. So did she, were the dogs, if she tripped up the steps, the dogs were in front of her, so she would have seen the dogs. So how could she have tripped over the
her
dogs?
Down steps, it would have been face forward.
Right.
So they expect us to say that the laws of physics don't apply.
Not to the Murdoch.
Not to the Murdoch. Murdochs are above physics.
They're above physics.
And so all of these cases, like so you're these three cases lead us to the big case of Paul and Maggie being shot dead on their property. And the 911 call that it like I also feel like this is also a trail, like it's like alcohol, police tape, police operation, the police operator recording. I was just like, there's so much evidence. There is so much evidence. Like, this family is just in shit. Like, so on the phone call, and I never realized this, but I feel like in my back of my mind, I knew this, but never really realized it. When you are calling 911, they apparently have a way of the minute that phone before, like when it first even rings, it's recording you. So Alec, like, so all we hear is ring, ring. And then when it answers, Alex is frantic. And that is very important because that becomes a huge thing later, is that Alex is very quiet. There is no sound besides the rings of that phone until somebody answers the phone, and then be, oh my God, like, I'm a family and my kids. Oh, Maggie, I checked the pulse, and I'm like,
when normally you would be frantic while calling the phone, like, oh my God, hello. And then, but for him to be like, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and scene.
It was like, and scene. I was just like, what is happening here, sir?
He should have won the Oscar. Because it was like,
and the Oscar goes to. And so then I guess Alex was just like, I'm just about to bring the drama even more. I'm trying to bring the drama. He decides to set himself up to be suicided by someone else. And I just said, sir, what?
Yet another person doing the dirty work for them and cleaning up the mess. That phone call was hilarious. I was cackling.
He was just like, I've been shot.
I was like,
fuck him off the ground. Get the fuck up. Get up. Get up. Hang the phone up. Hang it up. We're done. And somebody was just like, he literally set this up so that he could now, because basically, if no one has gotten anything, Alec is going to be arrested for the murders of his son and wife. Because all things point to Alec. So Alec, evidence points to Alec being at the house even when he says he wasn't, because his phone pings at the house. Things put him at the house. There are multiple things that put him in that home. So either he was there and someone did it for him, or he was around. But the fact that he lied about not being there really put the nail in the coffin for me. Then the phone call, it was just like, come on. Like, everything led to it, but the reason why he set this whole, I want to kill myself, the drama is because he wanted to create another suspect in the murder. So, because if he can get the guy to kill him, and then he's going to say, he wants to bring the drama, but actually he didn't, because he said, I didn't fight him for the gun. I don't know what he was trying to do, but it was really weird. Because if I wanted to kill Alec, I could have killed Alec. So I don't understand what he was trying to pull in that moment, but this ain't that.
Was he just trying to appear shocked and not actually die so that he could be like, he came back and tried to kill me too?
Yes, literally. Like, he was just like, I want the Academy Award. Best picture, best actor, best supporting actor, best for, like, he wants to write best screenplay. Like, he wants to write the whole scene. Like, I was just like, Alec, you are a lawyer, but you are not smart. Like, you do not use your mangula abengada.
I think they were not smart as a family, but I think their pull got them far. So Alex, clearly, even though he wherever he was in his career, they wasn't too bright. Because the stories that they came up with, I was like, I don't think anybody else in this town is believing this. But because your family is who your family is, it's kind of like, well, what can we do?
Right. It's not even the fact that people are just like, I believe this. It's just the fact, like, what the fuck are we going to do? This is the Murdochs we're talking about. This is them. And this is, like, the power that they hold. And then we kind of are brought back into the scene from the beginning with Mallory. And we find out that the police officers that were at the scene, the one that interviewed them at the hospital, they all have connections to the family through the uncle, Alex's brother. They all are connected. That's why they're saying, like, there is no fair trial, there is no real thought process, because they just know everybody and they have so much pull. And I think that they are smart when it comes to pull. Like you said, like, I think that they are smart when it comes to moving the chess pieces around as they need to and being charismatic. But when shit hits the fan, they are scrounging and they do not know how to be, because they are never used to shit hitting and, like, Paul literally, like, the flood. He has sent the flood to this family.
I think they're playing off of also people's silence.
Uh-huh.
So the guy, I think he was somebody's parents. It wasn't Anthony's parents. Was it Connor's parents? Who was the lady and the man? The man who was like, I'm actually still scared. Like,
I think it was Connor.
His parents, because his mom was sitting there with the I wish somebody would face the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this lady is how I feel about things. Like,
that's the one.
So I feel like they often get where they need to get because of people's silence. And they're like, we can trust you, right? We trust that you'll make the right decisions. And really, it's like, we trust that you'll keep your mouth shut.
It's just like, why, like, what, like, and it's like, what do you mean you trust me? Like, what you trying to do? Like, what is the threat? Please let me know, because I just really be wondering what they be having on these people, because, like, to get their silence, like, I want to find the little black book. I need to find the little black book, because there has to be a little black book of secrets.
You know, in those towns, they're always in.
Like, you know who we need to find? The town gossip.
Oh, because you know.
She knows. She's an old grandma with glasses that are like, cat eye glasses that had the little string that clocks around her neck. And she's like, you know, it ain't none of my business. But, you know, something always been wrong with that boy. Like, we need to find her, because she knows.
She was
looking out the window. And looking like, going on with that family. Like, because no way. Like, and so the trial of Alec proceeds to happen, even with all his foolishness and trying to throw people off his scent.
The trial happens, and basically, while on the stand, Alec just admits to so much fraud. Like, he admits that his wife did have reason to be concerned about money because he had been funneling money out of the family business for years, but he claims that it was for drugs. And they said you had to be smoking a lot of crack, okay? It would have to be pound. You could fill up a house with as much cocaine as he would have been able to buy with as much money as he took. It's not possible. That money is somewhere. We need to find that money.
Call me, Alex. Where's the money?
Where's the money? I won't tell nobody. Call me, you know, we might, you know, but if you hear a little sound that says we are recording, we're not recording. No one's recording. Because I just need to understand why Alex thought. Did he think that if I could just admit to fraud that I'm just not going to go to jail for murder?
Of two people at that. Two people.
Of my wife and son?
I guess maybe... I mean, I don't want to put myself in his brain, but, like, was he trying to, like, help them get out of the trouble that they were all about to be in? Because I think Maggie has something to do with Gloria's death. Paul obviously has something to do with Mallory's death. Buster's connected to Steven. Was he trying to spare them? But then it's like, why you didn't kill Buster?
Right. It kind of felt like, I don't know, like something in my mind makes me feel like, I think the low-key plot was, like, don't quote me on this, folks, but, like, I think the plot really probably was to kill Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't think Maggie really was going to go for him killing her son. No matter how much she wasn't a loving, like... with him, like, she just probably wasn't for that.
Yeah.
Or that's the whole plot was just to kill both of them, and it was just really just to, because he is a coward and he just wanted to fix the situation, so he felt like annihilating them was the way to fix the situation. If I could just get rid of them.
But then you have both on your hands.
Like, right, like, because here's the thing, when you kill someone and they die horrifically like that, there's this thing called an investigation that happens. And so I don't understand where, because remember what we came to before, he's not that smart, bright. And clearly the jury saw right through him too, because he was found fucking guilty on two counts of murder.
Yep. That was last year?
Yeah. And very much right at the end of the documentary, like, Paul is calling Buster from prison. He's just like, did Netflix is Netflix reach out to you? So clearly there might be, like, so there is another, like I said, like, another adaptation of this. Like, not adaptation, but, like, another documentary made by somebody else for HBO. And it highlights a little bit more of, like, the family history and stuff. But the Netflix one, I think, does a really good job of putting us basically where people, yes. I'm introduced to the Murdochs against my will on TikTok last year. And it was like right after, it was like right after Alec had that fake quote unquote suicide attempt that he tried to pull, and, like, you know, his wife and son, like, were, like, basically they basically saying, like, the bad luck Murdochs, like, because it was just like just bad luck time and time again. But it clearly wasn't. This was just their house of cards just falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later that has to happen. One family cannot hold that much power, and really all of the things that they have done are really going to come out. And there's still more to come, because at the end of the docuseries, the miniseries, you find out, like, you know, Mallory's family is still seeking civil liability for what happened to Mallory. Then there's also Gloria's family seeking compensation of money that they actually are owed from what they were told that they would be given.
And there's like millions upon millions of dollars that is owed to like to these people. And however, it's so much more. Like there's more going on with this family than we even know.
I'm sure it's dating back to, because how long this family has been in this position for, like years, like over 60 years. So we're talking people dating back to what, like
the early 1900s.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm so sorry. Like, I want to make this a little side note, and I don't know if you felt this too, but I was just like, they say the N word.
Literally, that's why I brought up the timeline, because I'm like, they definitely was responsible for some disappearing of some blacks.
I was like,
racist move. Because wasn't one of the guys, I think one of the guys that they like scammed or whatever was black. I like, they scammed a lot of black people. And I was like, I'm not surprised. They're in a small South Carolina town.
South Cackalacka.
So they in definitely low country.
Giving and this. I was like, what the fuck is low country? And I looked it up. It's when you basically live on like a waterfront kind of coastal town. So kind of like low country would kind of be like Myrtle Beach, but like further down from Myrtle Beach. And like the family, like the reason why I was saying that is because like they was just hunting. There was, and oh my God, going back to that situation they had with Paul and Morgan when they crashed their car, the family done came to the thing and cleaned out all the guns in the car. I'm like,
when they was like, she, the mom or Paul, whichever one, was assaulted with like an AR-15, and then somebody else was like, the other one was killed with like a rifle or something. I was like, is no one looking at their guns? Like, they are gun owners, and
it's essential that it's like it's probably was an unregistered gun, because the only reason why they would clear out all those guns from their car is if the guns are unregistered weapons.
True.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, pretty sure Paul was, it wouldn't have been right because he's a minor, but I'm saying like I think that the family had like a lot, like the family just. And because of their law enforcement connections, I'm just like, ooh, could these potentially be hot guns from other incidences? Like,
listen,
guns we can get melted down.
You know, they will find a way to do whatever it is that they need to do to make things happen and make things disappear. So I wouldn't put it past them. I'm glad that he is getting, that he is actually charged with the murder of his wife and son, because that's crazy. I don't care what you're covering up, but the fact that you're okay with murdering, not that it's okay that he murdered his wife, but like, she's technically another person to you. Like, she's just another adult, but your son, your baby, your child.
Right.
You killed him. And then you fake acted like you were so distraught. He was kind of doing a good job. I was like, okay, I could see how somebody would buy that he was distraught. Mm-hmm. But when you listen closely and you review the evidence, it's like, sir, did you really want us to believe this?
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Like, I got. Then he was in jail playing pinochle or craps or whatever he played. He was like, okay, so winning.
You are not. Where do you think you are? This is not the country club.
Because he thought he was in the Hamptons for a little bit. Like,
not when he coming back getting found guilty and having a bald head. I was like, oh, you do not have the head for that shape. The head shape for that.
I was like, did he lose his hair? Is he a? You know what? I'm not gonna lie. Immediately, I was like, oh, he a part of the Aryan Brotherhood. They inducted him.
Girl, what if he's trying to join the Aryan Brotherhood? Oh my God.
It was like, well, they got like, him in.
Like, oh, like he's a solicitor. So that means he sent people to prison. Like, not him, but like his family. Like they're lawyers. Like,
So he, you know, he had to click up to stay alive in there.
Real bad. Real bad.
So I was like, oh, you're scared now, I see.
You know, he was like, I'm about to be a skinhead today.
They will, them white people will get with the Aryan
Brotherhood. He didn't even wait. Like, he did not even pass go. Like, he just went straight to Aryan Brotherhood. I would not be surprised. Listen, I was gonna check on him in 6 months and find if he got a swastika tattoo on him.
I was about to say, I did not see no tats, but if he got a tattoo, he's in there.
Or he gonna be somebody little bitty bitch up in there.
That's probably why he shaved that hair off. That spicy red head.
And he's looking in red. And he just looks so damn pitiful. He just looks so pitiful. Like, no, sir. We know what you did. You did it. We don't really understand why you did it, but really, do your family even make sense for real, for real?
And we don't know how many other things he has done that we don't even know about.
Right. Well, because he admitted to all the fraud. Mind you, they saying like this type, the level of shit that he mentioned when he was on the stand could actually have him facing up to 700 years in prison. Because a lot of the fraud type stuff, because basically they saying that he pretty much is going to have like 100 counts of things on him.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot. So like, this is not the last we shall hear of Alec or Alex or whatever Murdoch. Again, Buster, I'm pretty sure he will be coming down the pipe a little soon too. So we shouldn't, don't count Buster out. Bless you. Buster is very blessed. Buster is definitely somebody I think was involved in Steven's death. I don't 100% know if he has direct linkage to him, but I think he knows something, and I think that this is going, like, it is not removed from me that this boy has something to do with Steven's murder. Whether we find out about it or not, I don't know, but I think that that is definitely a stone that we need to turn.
Turn it over, flip it.
Flip it, dip it. Wipe it down, make sure they ain't engraving nothing on it. Because, and also watch Buster and his bank accounts. Please interview, folks. Please. Watch his comings and goings. Watch their family comings and goings. Watch the brother. Watch their close friend. I'm pretty sure that they have lost a lot of their like close ties because of all of this. But this family still has some power going on. And I do believe, I don't know if Randolph has died. So Randolph probably still got his tendrils.
No, I think I saw it today when I was looking for something else. I think Randolph recently died. Let me see. I think he like just died.
Oh, shit.
How many Randolphs are there?
Oh, there's like, he's the third. So the first Randolph, which is the first Buster. Oh, yeah, Randolph. Oh, crap. Randolph died in, like, a year or some change ago. He died in June. Okay. He
was Randolph the third.
Right, but the Randolph the first was, Randolph the first was, like I said, the great-grandfather who is the OG of all of this stuff. Oh, no wonder. Okay, so Randolph Senior, that's their lineage school. So Buster went to the same school that his grandfather went to, because the University of South Carolina, so he could go to the South Carolina Law School.
These Murdochs run deep, because Randolph Senior, Randolph the first was in 1940. He was on his way home from a friend's house when his car mysteriously stopped on a railroad track. As well, Carson Jury. Okay, hold on. Around 1 a.m. when he was returning home, his car mysteriously stopped at a railroad crossing, and within minutes, a freight train slammed into his car, killing him instantly at 59 years old.
Yeah, damn.
And his body was found 150 feet away from the crossing. According to the train driver, Randolph Sr. waved at the train as it was speeding toward him.
Oh my God.
So they were wondering if the death was, get this, alcohol related. Because you know, alcohol, you can be genetically predisposed to developing an alcohol issue if your people and your people before them were alcoholics. So they always wondered if the death was alcohol related or possibly a suicide, but they couldn't prove any of those either way. And his death was ruled an accident. So everybody apparently has the same name of Randolph.
Randolph or Rich, so Alex's name is actually Richard, so he's a Richard, so he's Richard Alexander Murdoch, and Buster's name is Richard Murdoch.
Myrtle. Let me finish reading this because this gets interesting. So, like I just said, 1940. I'm sorry. This is gross, but my nose is running. After Big Randy died, his son, which is Alec Murdoch's grandfather, Randolph Jr., became the new solicitor. And the whole family sued the railroad company over the accident. So Randy Jr. asked for $100,000 from the railroad company. And in 1941, $100,000 was equal to more than $2 million in 2023. That's what it would be now. So they privately settled. Excuse me, folks. So they privately settled the case, and Randolph Jr. received an undisclosed amount of money.
Wow, okay.
And then, of course, four generations later, they still have some more untimely deaths, which included everything we just talked about, Mallory Beach, Paul, Maggie. So it all started with a railroad and the great great grandfather.
So basically, it started with alcohol and it basically ends with like drugs and alcohol. Like, it's just craziness. And what's even like really what's sad is that Randolph Murdoch the third, he died June 10th of 2021, and Paul and Maggie were killed on June 7th of 2021. So 10 days, so 3 days apart, literally. Insanity. And really, also just so everybody knows, like just so you understand that, like it started off with Paul Senior, like well not Paul, Randolph Senior. He held that position of solicitor. Then it went to his only son, and then it went to Randolph the third, who had sat unopposed until 2006. Alex Denby was an American attorney, and he basically, held it down for the 99s and 2000s in Hampton County for like for years, and from the power and prestige that they held as solicitors prior. He wasn't a solicitor, but he was an attorney. So they have a lot of deep ties within Hampton County and low country, and it's like these things are falling apart, like really. And honestly, this is not definitely the last we will hear of the Murdoch family. We will keep our eyes peeled, honestly, over here at Crime at the Family Table for any updates. If we decide to watch the second one on HBO, we will let you guys know, and we might do a part two. But honestly, this is where we leave you guys. I thank you so much for listening this week. And next week we'll probably be on our regularly scheduled program of celebrity cases, but we really just could not go a week without talking about this case because it's insanity.
It was too salacious. We had to
It was
talk about it.
salacious, tantalizing. Literally, it had everything, like sex, like gay, potentially gay lovers, drugs, alcohol, fraud, mystique, power, like, and all types of other things, murder and attempted fake suicide. Like,
Like, we cannot even, like, begin to even unravel, like, all the things. I really also, I want to leave this as saying, like, you know, to Gloria and to Mallory and to Steven's family, we wish you guys all the best from over here at Crime at the Family Table. No one deserves any of this type of treatment, and I do hope that you find justice. And I am definitely sorry that Paul was never able to, like, face the hands of justice in the death of Mallory. And I am sorry to the people that were with Paul that night who were also injured and have still dealt with trauma from those actions, and all others that have experienced the trauma from the Murdaugh family's years of tyranny over Low Country in South Carolina. And again, we'd like to say thank you all for listening, and we will see you again next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, guys.